Folks are sometimes surprised to learn I actually went to college. It could be they're surprised I could get in, much less graduate. But mostly I think they don't understand why someone would go to 4 years of advanced education so he could work blue-collar jobs half his life. Kids nowadays go to a university, they're going to come out with a debt that looks mountainous right out of the starting gate. They're probably not going to look for a minimum wage job in a cheap apartment above a TV repair shop the way I did. Then again, I didn't come out of college in the hole. In fact, I rolled out with enough money in the bank from working 30-hour-a-week jobs while going to school that I figured why work at all for a while. That, for you ambitious youngins, was the first mistake. You can learn to like not working for other people. Or in my case, you can learn that on top of hating to work for other people. I took summers off, then I took spring and fall off. Mostly I'd work for 2 or 3 months, give notice, and take a long, well-deserved vacation traveling around the country, which is how I found Washington State in the Olympic Peninsula. I vowed to move out, buy a slug farm, cultivate mosses and ferns, make a new life in the foggy, temperate rainforest. I didn't quite make it to the coast, but close enough for me. I guess if you graduate with a degree as versatile as an English major, coupled with a second major in sociology, your options for careers are pretty near exponential, meaning you can work most of those jobs folks with MBAs from Harvard probably aren't applying for. Nowadays, the young student is more likely to take a degree in business or international studies than American literature, given that tuition costs aren't the $250 a semester I had to dole out back in 1968. $500 a year, $2,000 for the whole shebang. Don't ask me why I didn't get a PhD for that kind of money. I should have, except I was itching to see the country, and I had a 1962 Rambler, and I was fed up with schooling. Life looked like an open road, let me tell you. And it was, for a while. But you quit jobs the way I quit jobs, pretty soon your resume tells any prospective employer you may not stick around real long. Hard to imagine why a young buck like myself wouldn't want to make a career out of kennel worker at the local dog pound, I know, but oddly, employers value loyalty and longevity, even if it paid $1.75 an hour back then. And pretty soon, even a will-o'-the-wisp worker like myself realizes the job market is evaporating faster than the icebergs polar bears are sailing. Combine that with the less-than-rosy employment opportunities of the South End, you maybe can see why entrepreneurism works for some of us desperate dead-end graduates. Which, looking back now from a few decades of a so-called career in art, it did. Sure, it could have turned out tragic. Could have been a cautionary tale for my friends to tell their kids. You want to turn out like Skeeter? Go ahead. Keep flunking math in your senior year. See how you like living hand to mouth in some hellhole. As it turns out, they keep their kids away from me about the time when college applications are due. You don't let them play with a happy artist when what they need is to buckle down and make some serious life decisions. I hear a lot of talk these days that history and literature and the fine arts are a waste of time for a college to offer. Not worth the high tuition when you rank it against potential earnings. I think that kind of thinking is too sad for words. That kind of thinking is right out of the mouths of the folks with no imagination and no use for one. Speaking for those of us with useless degrees, I can say my education didn't end back in 1972 when I missed graduation ceremonies. What I learned was learning is a lifetime endeavor. It didn't end with a job. It didn't end at all. You ask me, whatever that cost, it was worth every cent.